Excellencies, my lords, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's classified most of you lot into your proper social stations. That just leaves the peasants and me, Michael De Morgan. Now, of course, we De Morgans are in a category of our own, and I'm probably one of the best examples of us you're ever likely to see. Tall, dark, handsome, debonair, classic features, strong, firm line to the jaw, with just the hint of a smile playing at the corners of my finely chiseled lips. Impeccably dressed, naturally, to set off my lithe, athletic figure to advantage. And all this, coupled with a rich, mellow, resonant, and compelling voice, creates, as you can well imagine, an outstanding personality that towers head and shoulders above the hoi polloi.
And he's so modest with it.
I've never heard such a load of big-headed claptrap in my life.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?
Oh, shut up. Get on and read what Lottie Wyman really wrote about you.
Well, if I must. This is average height, chubby, insignificant, untidily dressed in his war surplus demob suit, inarticulate Michael Tin Tonsils De Morgan, whom we're sorry about, but he's all we could get, announcing the embassy loft by a writer I can't bring myself to mention, and starring Derek Francis and Frank Thornton. Of constantly rising prices, people are more and more using do-it-yourself kits. It's obvious that whatever you need to repair or make or alter, it must be cheaper to do it yourself. It says so on the box. In any case, there's a little bit of a handyman in all of us, and when it comes to a quick bit of fixing in his office, Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller, our ambassador in Tratia, is no exception.
Morning, Pettigrew.
Morning, sir.
Blimey, what have you got there? My tool bag. Out of your way and clear my desk. I want to dump it.
Right, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. I'm going to hang this picture frame over my bookcase.
Do you mean to say that you put on a cloth cap, boiler suit, a pair of industrial gloves, and brought a complete set of tools just to knock a nail in the wall?
If a job is worth doing, Pettigrew, it's worth doing well. Besides, it isn't a nail. It's a screw.
Ah, yes, a screw. Well, of course, that makes a much bigger job of it altogether.
Exactly. Now keep quiet and don't get in my way. I'm going to drill a hole. Hey, you can watch if you like.
Oh, thanks very much, sir. You're quite sure it won't make you nervous?
Oh, no. These little jobs are perfectly simple once you've got the know-how.
Well, just before you start, sir, may I ask what particular exclusive work of art is now about to grace the wall of your office?
It's not a work of art, Pettigrew. It's a certificate I won. Proves me athletic prowess.
It does what?
Well, I mean, we've got to show these foreigners that the British can hold their own at sports, you know.
Oh, you mean like that award the German ambassador has got on display in his office for saber dueling?
Yes, that's it.
And that shooting trophy the Russian ambassador won for marksmanship. And the silver cup the Chinese ambassador got for winning the Mahjong championship.
Exactly. You've got the idea. If they're going to show off, why shouldn't I?
Well, what are you going to put up, sir?
My certificate for skin diving, of course.
Skin diving? I didn't know you'd done any of that, sir. May I see?
Yes, but be careful with it.
This is to certify that Master Jeremy Crichton Buller, aged 7 years and 6 months, swam 1 full width of the Clodhampton Preparatory School baths. Underwater.
Congratulations, sir. That should show up all the other ambassadors.
Not bad, is it? Mind you, it was a bit of a cheat.
Why, sir?
Well, if you must know, I was supposed to swim it on top. But there was a bit of a snag.
What?
I couldn't swim. So, when some idiot shoved me in, I just held me breath and walked it.
They gave you a certificate.
Oh, it was touch and go. I mean, they couldn't make up their minds whether I qualified as a swimmer or for a place in the cross country.
What a shame, sir. When you left school, instead of joining the diplomatic corps, you should have joined the RAF.
Why?
Then you could have got your water wings.
Pettigrew, what would I have been doing with water wings in the RAF?
Flying a seaplane, sir.
that you'd like me to take off?
Do. And if possible, bail out without a parachute. Now stand well back while I drill the hole. Oh, my word, this wall's hard. What's it made of? Bulletproof steel?
Only your bit, sir. You're trying to drill through the head of a nail that's already there.
Me?
Now, are you going to drill somewhere else?
Not likely. I'm going to have his nail out and make room for my screw. Pass me the hammer and chisel, Pettigrew.
Here you are, sir.
Right, now give me room. It's shifting. Here it comes. One for luck.
Oh.
Do you think I hit it too hard?
Don't perish the thought, sir. It was the wall. It just threw itself at you.
Well, at least half of it did. My word, what a mess. Now you can see why I put on my boiler suit, Pettigrew. Your bit of Savile Row's gone for a right chop. For Pete's sake, don't you go out in the rain in that lot or you'll turn into a plaster cast.
Thanks very much, sir. Of course, if I keep my mouth open, I might be able to do an audition for Henry Moore.
Well, there's one good thing about it. I needn't bother any more about drilling a hole for this screw.
No, sir. I can hold the screw in position, and you can just build a wall back again round it.
That's the style. You're learning. Now, where's me what's it?
Beg your pardon?
Me what's it? You know, the thing. The flat job with the broad doings.
Wouldn't you be better off with the telephone directory, sir?
Telephone directory? What do I do with that? Fill up the hole?
No, sir. No. Ring up the decorators to come and replaster the wall.
Pettigrew, have you gone potty? It'll take about 2 minutes. Clean it down, slap a bit of plaster on, skim it over, and no one will know the difference. Right, come on, where's me what's it?
You mean the thing, sir. The flat job with the broad doings.
That's right.
Here you are, sir. And for your information, it's called a scraper.
That's what I said. Now then, you trim this edge here, and cut away this bit here. Well, it could never have been put up properly in the first place.
That wall has managed to hold up for about 170 years, sir.
Long as any. Well, there you are, then. You see, the blasted thing's perished.
Hello, Henry Pettigrew speaking.
Martha here, Mr. Pettigrew.
Hello, Martha. And how's the pretty little palpitating petunia of the phone room today?
Sprung up to me burrows with your Barney, Shakespot.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Yes, so you should be, Mr. Pettigrew. Between the pair of you, you've got all me little plugs rattling, me spare set's fallen down, and me cactus is all of a quiver.
Martha.
It's all right for you up there, but what about me? I'm underneath.
Martha.
For the last 5 minutes, I've been able to stir me tea without moving the spoon.
Martha.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
All that hubbub and hullabaloo, of course. I mean, I know Sir Jeremy feels the cold, but he doesn't have to have the coal man deliver his best household nuts straight into his office, surely. The last two sacks shook me off my little swivel seat.
That noise wasn't a coalman, Martha. It was Sir Jeremy.
He was it. Well, what's Sir Jeremy doing delivering the coal? Has he taken a part-time job?
Not anymore, Martha. What he's just done is going to keep him busy full-time.
Oh, is it? Well, tell him not to bump and thump and clump. Because every time he does bump and thump and clump, it gives me the hump.
And heroes disconnected from the plug hole, and the plug hole's disconnected from the... Henry Pettigrew speaking.
I know that, sexpot. You couldn't have had time to let go. But I would now if I were you, because I've got a hot one hanging on for you.
How hot?
Red hot. It's the Russian ambassador.
Oh, blimey.
Who is it, Pettigrew?
It's for you, sir.
Eh?
It's our next-door neighbor, sir, the Russian ambassador.
Oh, law. What's old Trotsky trousers want? Hello. Crichtonville here. Oh, good morning, Ivanov.
Nit. There is nit nothing good about it.
Where off?
Stop banging your inferior hammerhead on your decadent, cavalieristic side of our superior folly party wall.
Oh, have I disturbed you, old man?
Yet disturbed me. You have dispersed about 2 tons of glorious people's dust from superior Soviet picture ale.
Sorry about that, old man.
Capitalistic, pardon me, is not good enough. Dirty great chunks of classified top secret muck keep landing all over my strip cartoon in today's Prata.
In Prata? What sort of a strip cartoon do they run? Andy Katsky or the Gamble-offs?
Yes, Andy Katsky. We have the continuing story of Peyton Grant Place.
Yes, of course, you would have. Well, if there's nothing else, sir...
Yes, there is not nothing else. There is something. I demand that you stop bashing about on the wall like a decadent British buller in an inferior capitalistic China shop.
Well, if you're going to take that attitude, I'll hang up.
It makes no difference if you do hang up. I can still speak to you through what's left of the wall.
No, come of it, Ivanov's not as bad as that. In any case, we don't want to let a couple of little taps and bangs come between us.
Yes, after your last 2 taps and bangs, only thing between us is our superior Soviet wallpaper.
Oh, Lord. You know, I believe you're right. I see the glow of your desk lamp shining through.
In that case, I'm going to switch it off. Glorious comrades, do not put hard-earned rubles in slot meter to light up decadent British embassy.
Touchy. That's his trouble. Touchy.
Yes, touchy. Stop talking about me behind my wallpaper.
Lord, he can hear us. Quick, Pettigrew, say something nice in Russian.
Eh? Fanny Hill.
Fanny Hill? What the blazes is Russian about that?
Oh, she's jolly well read, sir. Perhaps you'd like me to go and have myself censored.
Do. Now, stop wasting time, Pettigrew. What are you going to do about this wall?
Well, sir, according to one expert I know, all you've got to do is to clean it down, slap a bit of plaster on, skin it over, and nobody will know the difference.
Well, if it's as simple as that, I won't bother with it myself. You better get a man in, Pettigrew.
Right, sir. And I've had the number written down for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, good. Right, when I fix that up, I can go and change. Carry on, Pettigrew.
Oi, anyone home? Where are you? So, come on, stir it, don't.
You rang, sir.
Rang? Well, if that were a bell, you've had a heck of a power cut.
How are you, the butler?
Mr. Proudfoot, the comptroller of the British Embassy household.
Well, it's the same thing without the green baize apron. Ormondwright's the name, Sam Ormondwright. Builders and decorators, by appointment.
By appointment? To the royal family?
No, by appointment at 12:30. And it's 12 to 1 now.
Oh, I see. You're the odd job man we sent for to do the wall.
Wall? Never mind the wall. What about this front door? Jam-packed with wet rot, that door is.
Wet rot?
Wet rot. You could take it off its hinges and wring it out. It's only the varnish that's holding it together.
It's solid English oak, and it's good for another 100 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't bank on it. One more thump on that knocker, and you'll have open house.
Really? Well, if you'd like to come this way, I'll show you the wall we want repaired.
Right.
Follow me, if you please, Mr. Ormondwright. I'll take you to His Excellency's office.
Hey, up, hey, up. You're not going to walk down the middle of this hall, are you?
And why shouldn't I?
Well, take my jiff and keep to the sides. That middle bit will never stand the weight of both of us. Just look at that parquet. It's lifted.
That is specially selected maypole flooring, and it was put down by an expert.
Oh, it may have been put down by an expert, but it's lifting up on its own. You know what you got there, don't you? Woodworm.
Woodworm?
Aye, woodworm. And by the look of them lumps and bumps, them worms must be the size of moles.
The wall, Mr. Ormondwright, is through here.
Bayek. Do you mean somebody uses this room?
It's His Excellency's office.
Well, he takes his life in his hands every time he comes in here, doesn't he? I wouldn't sit under that ceiling for 2 seconds together.
Are you suggesting that the ceiling requires attention, Mr. Ormondwright?
Attention? Attention? Pit props, that's what that ceiling needs. Even then it'll be condemned. What's the room above here?
Sir Jeremy's bedroom.
Is it? Well, take my advice and tell him when he goes to bed not to drop his boots.
Come all the way down here to get them back in the morning.
The wall, Mr. Norman Royd?
Wall? Here, you call that a wall? You know what that is? 12 of sand and 1 of cement held together with lining paper. Stick a nail in that and the old lot will fall down.
That, Mr. Norman Royd, is precisely what happened. Sir Jeremy tried to hang a picture frame.
Hey, I'm not surprised. Just as well he didn't switch the light on to see what he was doing. Had he caught the wiring? Look at those cables. I've seen more rubber on the end of a pencil.
I don't wish to tell you your job, Mr. Norman Royd, but are you quite sure we haven't got no death watch beetles in our wainscoting as well?
Oh, no, you're safe there. You couldn't have any death watch beetles. There's not enough substance in that wainscoting to keep a green fly happy.
Oh, hello, Crawford. What's going on in here?
Mr. Norman Royd is, sir, at great length.
Norman Royd? It's got a British sound to it. What's an English builder doing in Tepia?
I'm part of the export drive. Let's face it, you can't fly houses out here, so I build them on the spot.
But I thought they needed all the new houses they could get in England.
Hey, not at my prices, they don't. If I'd have stayed there, they'd have had me working for the Ministry of Transport.
What for? Building motorways?
No, building rest huts for the men working on them.
I see. How long do you think it's going to take to finish this job?
3 months. And that's working overtime, as a personal favour.
Oh, well, thanks very much. When did you start?
Well, as luck would have it, tomorrow morning. I've just had a cancellation. The wife wanted a washer on her hot tap, but she can wait.
Good, well, we'll see you in the morning then.
You won't. I want the lot of you out of here by 10. This place has got to be stripped through from top to bottom. It'll not be safe for civilians.
No, no, just a moment. You can't turn the entire British Embassy out into the street. I mean, we've got to have somewhere to live.
That's your problem. I've got enough on my plate to try and fix this place up so it's habitable.
May I just, in this type of emergency, perhaps King Ildebrand might be able to help in the name of protocol, sir?
That's an idea, Proudfoot. I'm very glad I thought of it. Now, get everybody to pack their weekend cases, and I'll phone old Gasometer Guts and tell him he's got company tomorrow. Let's face it, he can hardly turn down genuine refugees.
Well, I must say, Mr. Pettigrew, it's jolly nice of King Hildebrand to let us stay in the Royal Palace until our embassy's ready.
Yes, Simpkins, we shall never know how nice until we get the bill.
Oh, Pettigrew, Simpkins, there you are. What are you doing hanging about in the corridor?
Waiting for you, sir. The king is inside. He wants to welcome you to our temporary royal apartments personally.
I see. Very civil. What's the snag? Does he want a month's rent in advance?
He couldn't be that much of an optimist, sir.
Oh. Well, then he's probably counting the ashtrays.
King Hildebrand has chosen the purple suite for us, sir. He said he thought it might match in better with your colours.
Really? What's he talking about?
Perhaps he meant your old school colours, sir. The ones you've got for underwater swimming.
Pettigrew, there is no purple in my old school colours.
There is if you're wearing them when you lose your temper, sir.
Simpkins, lad.
No, just my little joke, sir. I mean, that's how we always sell. You see, normally, Sir Jeremy's cheeks are always a sort of baby pink. But when he starts to get annoyed...
Simpkins.
They change colour. So I worked out my own colour chart. If he turns a blushing rose, it means, watch it. Filibot's red means don't get close enough to watch it.
Simpkins.
Crimson lake means beware of unidentified flying objects. And purple means that one of the flying objects is probably me.
Simpkins.
Yes, Mr. Pettigrew?
Just what would you deduce from the colour Sir Jeremy has turned now?
Oh, dear. He's gone right off the chart. Don't bother, sir. I'll throw myself out.
He was aiming for the front door, sir, but he forgot the stairs.
Yes. Well, now he'll have a bit of his own anatomy to check against his colour chart.
Ah, good morning, Sir Jeremy Buller Crichton and Mr. Prettyglue. happy you are to be looking two-faced at me from both sides. With a hey, nonny, yes, and how are your collective doing?
Charmed, I'm sure. Aren't we, Pettigrew?
Oh, yes, of course, sir. It's a pleasure.
Oh, me too. I am also a pleasure. Now, with the thank me backwards, pleasing you will be in turning each other's foot together, pointing the other way and coming side by side behind me.
Hey? Pettigrew?
Not a clue, sir, but I wouldn't risk it.
Yes, please me. King Hildebrand, the number third, has been instructive to me to lead you on. Yes. Where he is waiting to be up chatting you with shaking hands at your arriving and is gladful to be making room for you all in his purple suit.
All of us in his purple suit?
Yes.
Going to be a bit of a tight fit. Oh, I don't know, though.
I think she meant sweet, sir. Unless she has a suit tooth, and perhaps suits don't suit her. Perhaps I should go and find a toffee paper and wrap myself up.
Do. And I hope it's off a bit of stick jaw. All right, Miss... Look, if his royal nibs is ready, let's get on with it.
Oh, thank me, please you. His royal nibbles is on his tipping toes, waiting to be happily expectant. So, please do be forward trotting with a double left, right foot each apiece between you in an advanced time. And hurry it up, thank me.
I wouldn't even understand it in English.
It means every man for himself, sir. Come on.
Yes. Scarpering inwards, go. Toodaloo, chin-chin, old chappies.
Toodaloo, chin-chin, old chappies. You know, she must be learning her English from Bertie Wooster.
Ah, there you are, Sir Jeremy. Mr. Pettigrew?
Oh, chin-chin, me, royal fruit. How do you do, Your Majesty?
A little better than you, up to now, Excellency.
On behalf of myself and the rest of our lot, thanks for fixing us up in your digs. We'll try and muck in as best we can.
Okay.
Sir Jeremy means we're going to be jolly comfortable, sir.
And let's face it, after our place, this is almost like a palace.
Almost, Mr. Pettigrew?
I've done it, haven't I?
Quite. However, while you and your staff are here, Sir Jeremy, I want you all to feel free to come and go as you please, and to look upon these digs as your home.
Oh, very gracious. And don't you worry, Your Majesty. I'll keep an eye on everything. I mean, they won't be allowed to carve initials on the tables or rub their boots up on the curtains or any of that lot.
I'm delighted to hear it, Excellency. In that case, I shall not ask for a month's rent in advance.
Hey?
Nor will I bother to count the ashtrays. Good day, gentlemen. Good day.
He hears every word I say. I'd swear he'd been fitted with sonar equipment instead of ears.
Excuse me, sir.
No, I won't, Simpkins. Go and aim for the front door and forget the stairs again.
Yes, sir. No, sir. I mean, I can never forget those stairs. I know every one of them intimately.
And what do you want, lad? An air cushion for your chair?
Well, it would be nice if I even had a chair, Mr. Pettigrew. All they've given me in my office is an old piano stool. And that's only got two positions, very high or very low. I'm either practically standing on tiptoe or squatting on my haunches with my chin on my knees.
Well, that's no problem. Pass some telephone books on it.
There aren't any telephone books, sir. There isn't even a phone. What's more, there's no proper lighting or heating either.
Well, use a candle, then you'll have both.
But I shan't be able to see what I'm doing.
Then for once, you'll probably get it right. Now, buzz off, Simpkins, and make the best of it. We've all got to rough it for a while.
Rough it? This isn't just rough, sir. It's practically uncouth.
You know, Pettigrew, I don't know what the younger generation's coming to. Soft, that's what they are. Soft. Shove that footstool a bit closer, will you? That's better.
Can I get you a woolly shawl and a glass of warm milk as well, sir?
And you can stop taking the mickey. I am simply accepting our temporary discomfort with fortitude. And I expect everyone else to do the same.
Henry Pettigrew speaking.
Martha here, Mr. Pettigrew.
Hello, Martha. And how's our fascinating little fairy queen of the phone room today?
You can save your old flannel for your winter combs.
Thank you, Martha. And now, can I help you at all?
Well, somebody better. I've been incarcerated.
You've been what?
Yes, Mr. Pettigrew, and I want to know what I'm in for.
Martha.
I've got my rights, you know. If I'm going to be confined, I want to know what I've done wrong.
Martha.
Yes, what's more, I demand a fair trial.
Martha.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
This dungeon, Mr. Pettigrew. They've bumped me switchboard in the dungeon. It's cold and it's damp and it's got bars on the windows and the door's slammed and I can't get out.
Oh, dear. Well, hang on, Martha. I'll send somebody down.
Phone me, solicitor. Give a writ of habeas corpus or something. And hurry up. Otherwise, the corpus you're going to habeas will be me.
What was all that about?
It was Martha, sir. I got the impression she's not too happy.
Not too happy? She's living in the royal palace, isn't she? I mean, if I can put up with it, so can everybody else.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, Lord, not another one. All right, Proudfoot, what's your trouble?
With respect, sir, one of us has got to go.
Really? Well, I'm not shifting, so goodbye.
No, sir, I did not mean you. I was hutterating about that there hutter controller.
Oh, you mean the controller of the royal household?
Precisely, sir. There's not no room for the both of us under one roof, sir. It keeps trespassing on me preservatives, sir.
Don't you mean trespassing?
He done that and all, sir.
Oh, come off it, Proudfoot. Two responsible men like you ought to be able to get along. Little birds in their nests must agree, you know.
If he was a bird, sir, we might.
And if he was a bird, I'd have swapped jobs.
Right, that does it. Now, you two listen to me, and you can pass this on to the rest of the staff. While we're staying here in the royal palace, you've all got to make the best of it. I don't want to hear any more complaints. Just settle down and carry on as if we were still back in our own embassy.
Is that what you're doing, sir?
Certainly. You can see for yourself. There's all the usual muck on my desk. My brandy's in the filing cabinet. Even my paper clips have started hooking themselves up into a little chain.
Oh, very home from home, I'm sure, sir.
Hang on, there's something missing. Pettigrew, give me a nail and a heavy ruler, will you?
I'm sorry, sir, I haven't got a nail and King Hildebrand's not here. King Hildebrand, heavy ruler.
All right, don't bother about the nail, there's already one in the wall. I'll bash it out and shift it up a bit.
I hardly dare ask, sir, but what are you going to do?
Hang on, my skin diving certificate, of course. Makes the place really look like home. Now, stand back.
Do you think you should, sir?
Well, why not? It's not as if we've got old Trotsky trousers living on the other side of the wall.
No, Sir Jeremy. You have old gasometer guts on the other side of the wall.
Your Majesty, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was anybody in. No, I mean, the wall must be weak. I mean, I must have hit it too hard.
No, Sir Jeremy. You hit it just hard enough. Now, thanks to you, I have a suite with a hole in the middle.
Excuse me, Sir Jeremy, but shall I go and order our bags to be packed now, sir?
Why, what's the point? We've got nowhere else to go.
Oh, yes, we have, sir. Back to our own embassy. When I tell that Mr. Ormondroyd I've recommended him for this viceroyal appointment job at the palace, he'll have our hole plastered over and be up here before you can say dry rot.
By Jove, you're right, Proudfoot. Just as well I thought of it. There you are, you see, Pettigrew. I always get you out of the muck.
Quite. Where you lead, we're ahead of you.
Yes, well, I mean, that's my job. Experience counts, you know. Now, come on, get packing. Oh, and don't forget to bug in my skin diving certificate.
If you don't mind, sir, I've got another suggestion for what you can do with that.
Pettigrew!
Forget it, and take up a different sport altogether, sir.
Really? What do you suggest?
The Eton Wall game, sir?
The Embassy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman, starred Derek Francis as Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller and Frank Thornton as Henry Pettigrew. King Hildebrand was played by Francis DeWolf. Martha was Charlotte Mitchell. Simpkins was Michael Spice. And Mr. Proudfoot was Peter Stevens. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.